is Tigran Arkalian. Have a chair, Tigran. And you want to sit there? Move that microphone to where it will do us some good, if you would. I'll say hello, Tigran.
Hey, how's it going?
Isn't it? You see that, though I'm sure my pronunciation is 75% of right, at least I can rattle off my poor pronunciation of your name quickly as if I think I know what I'm doing.
It sounds great. You've made a lot of progress.
Just for my own edification, you please tell us what your name is.
Tigran Arkalian.
Well, that's not so different. You dumbed that down for me, didn't you? Tigran is the music director and the conductor, artistic director, conductor, everything except a musician for Townsend Community Orchestra. Tigran, I hear rumors that the name of the orchestra is changing.
You already got the rumors? It's in the process of changing. You know, we are a community orchestra, and we'll talk more about this maybe at the next show, but the name is changing, and we are a community orchestra, but it's a serious group, and it's still a community orchestra, but I think the name will reflect a little bit more the serious work that we do, and Sato, who's our soloist, and he's here with us, is, you know, a guest from Los Angeles, and he's here to solo with us, and
what's the name going to be, Tigran?
What is it?
Yeah, but you're changing the name. What's it going to be?
Well, the orchestra has to vote on it. There are a few options, so I think we'll just save
you're not
it.
Going to tell
let's
me,
just
are
say
you?
That the word community will be most likely replaced by symphony. So,
That is what my mole in the orchestra thinks. The symphony has passed on to me. And our colleague here, I would ask you to move one of these microphones to, that will work. We're going to talk for a little bit. Now, as you probably can tell, that is the right one. I did a passingly decent job of pronouncing Tigran's name. And I, last night, at home, looking at your name, right, I wanted to kind of get close, but rather than, since you know how to pronounce your name, and since it's a name from Syria, I mean, no, Lebanon, Syria.
It's actually an Armenian name.
So Armenia is coming to us twice here today.
Right.
What's your name, sir?
So I am Saro Babikyan. That's how we pronounce it.
Okay, I'm not even going to try, although I think I would have been close. And Saro, you are a guitar player.
I'm a guitar player.
And the soloist for one of the pieces in Sunday's concert.
Yes, it's going to be the Fantasía para un Gentil Hombre by Joaquín Rodrigo, the Spanish composer.
And my first question to Tigran is this. Let me look at my notes. I don't think I have the note that I need here to ask my astute question, but I'm going to page through my notes until I can find it on the back of the duck calls. And that is, yes, indeed, the theme is French-inspired for Sunday's concert.
Mm-hmm.
Rodrigo is Spanish.
Rodrigo is Spanish, but as with anything, I will always find something that connects it to anything to the theme. Rodrigo studied in France, actually.
Oh, okay.
Even though he's a Spanish composer, and actually really interesting because Bizet were playing the Carmen Suite, and Carmen is a Spanish inspired opera. So there's I should have called it the French-Spanish connection or something. But, it's French-inspired, and all three of the composers are French. And Rodrigo's, he got his inspiration and influence, part of it at least, from France, having studied there. So that's the connection for that.
Okay, so Tigran, we're kind of getting to know each other a bit. I'm watching you emerge in this orchestra soon to be symphony or symphony soon to be community or whatever it is, but you're really blossoming on stage. You're becoming a stage act of your own. I mean, you're quite a guy on stage.
Thank you.
You enjoy yourself, don't
Thank
you?
Thank you. Thank you.
Have you always liked the attention, the being the focal point?
I don't like the attention when it comes to maybe smaller environments.
Uh-huh.
But as soon as I'm on the radio or I'm in front of a group, I enjoy it a lot more.
Yeah.
It's I think that my job is to inspire the audiences and get them excited about classical music the way I'm excited about it. So being a musician, it's not just being great as a conductor or as an instrumentalist, but it's also being able to communicate with the audiences and getting them excited about what I do and what I love to do.
So. Well, that really shows. And I was just thinking that this may not be exactly the best. There's something about classical music, as you know, that the nose is in the air, there's stuffing in the shirt, something that you especially, and I, who like to listen, would prefer to set aside.
Yeah.
And you're doing that.
Yeah.
You're just basically kicking it out of the auditorium.
Thank you. Thank you. Uh-huh. It's always great to see you there. I appreciate you supporting us.
I do indeed. Sorrow, right?
Yes.
Close enough anyway.
Absolutely.
Close enough anyway. How many pieces in time, how many pieces are you going to play for us today? I need to know that so that I know how to organize the conversation part of it.
I can play a couple.
And for 10 minutes?
Yeah, around
there. 10 minutes? Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I will look at the clock. I do a lot of that, looking at the clock. And so we'll get to that. But let's talk about the concert first then. French-inspired, and first by Rodrigo. Let's talk about all four pieces. Let's just do that.
Well, I'll talk about the three pieces, and then I'll have Sato talk about Rodrigo since he's playing that. Fauré, French composer, considered one of the great 20th century composers. And actually, the connection with Fauré and Ravel, interestingly, is that Ravel studied with Fauré. And the piece that we're playing, the Pavane for a Dead Princess, is Ravel wrote that piece while he was studying with Fauré. So there's that connection. And, of course, the piece, the Pavane that we're playing by Fauré, is written by Fauré. So those are the two Pavanes we're playing. And actually, an interesting thing is, you know, I like to tell stories, but interesting thing. So the first time Ravel heard his Pavane for a Dead Princess in a concert hall, afterwards he talked to the conductor and he was like, you know, it's a Pavane for a Dead Princess, not a Dead Pavane for a Princess, because of the way he felt that the piece was conducted. So it should have a little bit more life, I guess. He wanted a little bit more life. But those are the two pieces, and that's the connection there. And then there's Bizet, who wrote Carmen. He wrote the opera. It's the last piece he wrote in his life. And actually, there were, you know, scheduled 50 or so performances of Carmen, and I think it was the 33rd performance or close to that. That he passed away. He died while the premiere session, was happening. Basically,
he died listening to his music.
Yeah, basically.
I hope it didn't kill him.
And this is a suite. There are two Carmen suites. We're playing Carmen Suite number one, and it's basically just parts of the opera, just selections from that, and we're playing that. So very interesting program, and very excited to present that. And the next piece is by Sato, so he'll talk a little bit about
it. What is a Pavane?
Pavane is a dance, 16th, 17th century dance, usually in 4-4 or 2-4. Both of the Pavanes we're playing are in 4-4. And actually, another thing I should say that connects the Spanish and the French a little bit is that the theme or the rhythms, mostly rhythmic ideas that Fauré used in his Pavane, the one that we're playing, is actually rhythmic ideas that come from Spanish Pavane dances. It was Pavane is basically 16th, 17th century dances that were originated in Europe. So,
can you describe them at all, what they look like?
I guess the best way to describe it would be come to our concert and listen to the two interesting and unique Pavanes that we're going to play, because those are very interesting, because the Pavane that's by Fauré, it's a little bit more lively, it's a little bit more upbeat. The one by Ravel, it gives you a different feeling for the Pavane. It's much slower, and it's in 4-4, so it's not a dance like 3-4, it's 4-4 or 2-4, so it has a little bit more of a different feel than a waltz would.
What I'm curious about is, these are couple dances or a performance dance?
Yes.
Couple dance.
Yeah.
Because Ravel also the Bolero.
I would say the Pavane for a Dead Princess, at least from my perspective, it's one of the first pieces I've conducted, and it has a special place, and I just feel like there's, even in that short Pavane for a Dead Princess, because the Bolero is about 17, 18 minutes long, the piece we're playing is much shorter, and it has much more to it than the Bolero, I think, in some ways, at least for me.
Okay, well, Sato, you have two pieces, I think you said you would play. Is that true?
In the concert?
No,
the concert.
Right now.
Right now, yeah, two or three.
So let's do one, and then we'll talk, and do another, and we'll talk, and
sounds good.
Finish up with the last.
You got it.
Please.
Okay.
And Tigran is moving that microphone over to your guitar, a good man he is.
So I will begin with the piece. Just talk a little bit about the piece. It's actually an Armenian folk piece. The father of Armenian music, Gomitas, had it in his anthology. It goes back to many years back. So the piece is called Nubar Nubar. It's a love song. And this is a guitar transcription or arrangement for solo guitar by my former teacher, Sarkis Turgutyan, who passed away. And I'm just happy to play the piece now here. So, Nubar Nubar.
Lunk was the microphone. So that would be a song in some contexts?
Yes, that's a love song. It's describing the lover in Armenian. That's a very popular Armenian song.
Yeah, any notion of some of the lyrics?
Well, it in the beginning, the first few lyrics, it sings about how beautifully tall the beloved is. Yeah, it symbols to symbolic Armenian trees. So the tallness is a symbol of beauty.
So we have some metaphor going on.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. From the notes, I guess, from the website of the orchestra, I read that you're born in Damascus, Syria. I gather then that there's an Armenian population in Syria.
That is correct, yes. Actually, there is a big Armenian population in Syria. There was even more before the war. City of Aleppo, not the capital, had a really big Armenian community. But in Damascus, where I was born and raised, we had about 5,000-6,000 Armenians. But it was a very active community. We had churches, we had schools, high schools. We were active both in our community and in the Syrian community. Yep.
Did you leave because of the war, or leave to study music, or both?
Well, it's a kind of interesting situation. So the war was a reason, definitely, but half of my family was already in the United States. My brothers were studying in the States, and my mom was there as well. And my father and I and my grandmother were there in Syria. So once the war started, we got to a time where there was about to close the international airport. Because of embargoes and the war, so we had to make a quick decision and leave the country as soon as we can, fleeing the war and being able just to be able physically to get out of the country.
It's an experience that Americans, most Americans, who have not fled from someplace,
right,
only know from reading and maybe watching television, but it must be terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm lucky compared to others and what others went through, the situations. Of course, it's war, but, you know, I was glad to be able to get out of the country safe and sound and reach here and reunite with my family.
Do you dream of going back, at least as a visitor?
Absolutely. As a visitor, I would like to go back. You know, it's after all, it's my birthplace. We have our house there still, and hopefully I'll collaborate one day with the... You know, the symphony or the opera over there.
Maybe someday it'll work out for you.
Yeah.
So how old were you?
When I left, I was 17.
Okay, so you already had been playing guitar. You picked it up at 10, age 10.
Yeah, I picked it up at 10. I started attending the local conservatory where my parents sent me. Yeah, it was actually the main conservatory that prepared young students to attend the Higher Institute of Music, where musicians got their bachelor's and master's degree. So I was 17 right before attending it. I left the country.
Uh-huh. And did you have to audition to get into the school?
Absolutely. In fact, in the beginning, I had to audition. I did not have any background in music. So we had to go through theory and some piano tests. They would, you know, play notes, and we had to identify and all that. I had absolutely no background. So the first time I attempted, I failed. But then I got some training. And the second time I was able to get in.
Why'd you pick the guitar?
Very good question. So, you know, maybe as many other parents, when they send their kids to the conservatory, they like them to play the piano or the violin or more of the famous instruments. But the reason I picked up the guitar is because I remember when I was around 10 years old, we were sitting in the living room at night, and there was this TV show going on, and there was a guitarist on there playing. I believe it was more flamenco style. And I was just inspired, very inspired by that scene. And that's when I took a decision. I was like, I would like to be in the place of that player one day. And that's how it all started.
And you're studying flamenco?
Not very much. I did a little bit, but I'm focusing more on the classical aspect and also doing some arrangement and composition on the side. By the way, one of the pieces that I'm going to play today is a composition, original composition.
Any experience with the oud?
No.
Fancy having that experience? And that is a classical instrument from that part of the world.
Yes, but I didn't have any interaction with the instrument. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a very popular instrument, and it was even used during classical concerts in Syria. Yeah, we had a oud studio.
Ever played an electric guitar?
I have not.
had this conversation. That's why he's laughing. We had this exact
maybe
same
I
conversation.
Should.
I'd like to ask for the second piece you prepared for today.
Absolutely. So the second piece is called, I named it, I Lost, I Found. I'm going to talk a little bit about it. So it's a piece based on a flamenco technique. This is when I was taking some flamenco lessons. The technique of tremolo is basically when you hit a bass note and then it's followed by... The technique was invented to sort of imitate the violin sustained bow, to sustain the sound. So that's the tremolo. So it has the flamenco tremolo.
And the composer here is?
Saro Babigyan, yours truly.
Very well. Thank you. And the guitarist is Sado Babikian.
Babikian, yes.
Close. You are still in school.
I am. Yeah. I'm currently doing my master's in music performance at University of Southern California under the instruction of William Cannon Geyser, Scott Tennant, and I'm taking composition lessons with Brian Head.
And when you get your master's, are you going to go on for a doctorate, do you think?
I might. I think I will take a break a little bit. I would like to explore the professional world more, just travel more, have fantastic opportunities like I have right now with Tigran. But I think maybe one day when I'm ready for research, when I have interesting topic in mind, which I have, maybe then I will dedicate some time for the DMA.
So is there a struggle between research and performing? You're studying performance, I think.
Right.
Why not just be a performer?
Well, when we do the DMA, the goal is to come up with, bring a project and maybe something new to the table. So me having the Armenian background and doing a little bit of composition and arranging and having a vast, really, material of Armenian pieces, to do more of that for the guitar, that might be a good subject or topic for a DMA thesis.
So and you bring have something an idea. New.
Yeah.
You have an idea you want to pursue.
Yes.
So I don't think that Tigran went to his Rolodex looking for Armenian guitar players and found you. I think he probably knew you beforehand.
Yes.
There's a connection. So when Sado moved to LA from Syria in 2012, right?
Right, absolutely.
His uncle, fantastic man, and he came to me and he knew I was conducting, and he came to me and was like, my nephew, you have to have him solo with your orchestra one of these days. And that was 2012. And things just didn't work out for a long time. And then I was back in LA, a year ago, and met Sado about a year and a half ago. I saw him again in LA, and he was like, well, we should collaborate one of these days. And I was like, actually, perfect opportunity, perfect timing. I'll have you come to Port Townsend. And then we worked on it, and he's here now. So
I'm going to say
there was that connection.
You're bringing him to Chimicum.
Chimicum, that's true. Port Townsend for now, since this is where
today.
It is. But Chimicum High School, Chimicum School Auditorium, 2 p.m. Sunday. Please be there.
Yes, indeed. And Sado, you have one more piece for us today.
Absolutely.
I want to hear that.
Let's do it. And this piece is called... sorry about that. This piece is... So the piece is called Gakavik in Armenian. It means the partridge bird. So it's a song about the partridge bird. It's again a folk Armenian folk song.
Okay, please. Well, I really want to thank you for coming. This is a delight, of course a delight. And we'll hear you on Sunday, 2 o'clock. I guess it's the first piece that you're soloing in, isn't it? That's true?
Second piece.
Second piece it is, okay.
Well, we're starting off with Foray, and then it'll be Rodrigo, little intermission, Ravel, and Bizet.
Very well. So, Tigran, maybe briefly describe how you are growing not as an organizer, because you're clearly that too, but as a conductor, on stage a conductor?
Well, every experience helps me get there, and you know, and of course, a wonderful community helps me get there, because the community here is very supportive, and they let me experiment and do things that I'm able to do, and that process of finding the things that I want to do helps me grow. So, thanks to the community, thanks to everyone who comes to our concerts, and hopefully, you get some people who don't come to our concerts that come to this one, because I think it'll be a wonderful experience of French inspired and Spanish and Sato. I think it'll be great.
French inspired, somewhat Spanish, and mighty Armenian as
that's
well.
Right. That's right. Right. That's right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much for always having us. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll do this again in April when we have another concert.
I actually put you on the calendar for the year.
Perfect.
On the dates that I thought would be appropriate.
Perfect.
And what I don't know, though, is when you're going to do the chamber orchestra.
I'll send you the dates.
You'll do that. Okay. Thank you, Tigran. Thank you, Sato.
Thank you so much for having us here. And thanks for the Port Townsend community. And thank you for everybody who's going to come out on Sunday.
I bet you're going to come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
You might even settle here. Wouldn't that be something?
Beautiful town.
Do you like the hot weather down in the south part of California?
I kind of prefer the weather here.
All right. Well, yeah. You'd be most welcome. And I think probably, certainly on every block, there is a well-known musician in this town. So you'd fit right in.
Okay.
Okay. Have a good time. We'll
Thank
see you on
so
Sunday.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.